good to see this good number out tonight and to have some visiting with us. And we encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. We have no intention of belittling anything you might believe to be true and yet have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God's Word. Just a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that has been suggested by Brother Butler. And if you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be immersed for forgiveness of sins. If you have your Bible this evening, if you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I want to apologize that my friend didn't make it tonight. I have a friend, he's a lawyer for Disney down in Orlando, and he is an elder for the Fortune Road Church in Kissimmee. And he would be going to be passing through, and I was hoping he would get to speak for us. Does an outstanding job in the proclamation of God's Word. And I told him we'll just have to schedule him some other time. I would like for you to get to hear some of these men who do a good job in proclaiming God's Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, though, we are going to talk about a judge and not a lawyer. Look, if you will, beginning at verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. At this particular time, if you were to go back and read through the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find the church at Corinth was divided. And it was in a divided condition, and Paul is writing in concern to this division. And he brings to their mind that they seem to be following three great men. Some were saying that they were of Paul, some were saying they were of Peter, and there were others that identified themselves as followers of Apollos. And thus Paul looked at these men, and it's easy to see why one would be guilty of such. But Paul stresses the fact that whatever position one might hold, or what he is in the service of the Lord, he is a servant of God, and he must not forget that. And Paul is saying to the people of God at that time, follow Christ. And then he brings to their mind, and he stresses in a very effective way, that there can be those who are accused of judging one another. And they might be judging Paul, or they might be judging Peter. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about three judgments. And for a few moments of our time, I want to talk about three judges. The first thing I want you to think about is the judgment of fellow man. And some may argue that we ought not to stand in judgment of our fellow man, but nevertheless, it is true that we often do. We are judged by our fellow man on every side. And I'll tell you, sometimes the judgment of an individual can be correct. It can be true that someone can observe someone's behavior and they can judge correctly the actions and the attitude of an individual. And I must say that in some cases, individuals are correct in their judgment. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 7th chapter, you remember that Jesus had talked about how we are to judge. And we judge by the fruit of those who are laboring. And he says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So I can judge an individual by their fruit. And you remember that in Matthew chapter 7, he warns in verse 7, not to cast your pearls before swine. The Lord said, you recognize the swine, and you recognize them by their actions. Sometimes we read verse 1 and we leave off what Jesus said about righteous judgment. And yet sometimes I can judge an individual correctly and I can be correct. But the second thing I want us to understand is that sometimes an individual can judge someone and it be incorrect. It can be a false judgment. And I must say in fairness that many times judgment is wrong. Have you ever been misjudged? You know, there are reasons that we are judged incorrectly. First, many times we're judged incorrectly because of prejudice. Somebody maybe just don't like us, and they're unfair in their judgment of others. And sometimes, if you think about how we look at people, we have a preconceived notion of them, and thus we don't like them. And thus, when we hear something about them, we say, that must be correct. Now, I thought about, if your son or daughter lies, they're guilty. But is it not true that we often, when we look at our children, show mercy and work with them? But if we look at somebody else that we have a prejudice against, well, that judgment is more harsh than it is of somebody we like. But secondly, some people judge incorrectly because they're just wanting a fuss. Some people are always looking to cause a problem. And I'll tell you, my friend, I have found people that have misrepresented me, misquoted me. I've even had that happen recently. Well, they'll take one statement and they'll run with the statement, but they don't give the whole context of what was said. And the next thing you know, it's being spread that you taught something or said something, and they've not given the context in its entirety. And many times, what we need to recognize is there's some people that they have an ulterior motive, and they're judging you to excuse themselves. But I'll tell you, there's a third thing. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll find in verse 9, beginning through verse 11, that some judge and they have limited power. Eye has not seen nor hear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. That's not talking about heaven, that's talking about the gospel. He says in verse 15, though, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the thing of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, that's also true of man. The only way I know what a man has said or what a man believes or what a man's motives are is by judging him by his actions and by his words. But oftentimes, only the man himself knows why he's acting the way he is. And I must be careful in that judgment. Sometimes I've seen fellow man, and they judge someone guilty when they were really unable to do so. I may have a suspicion about their motive, but I really don't know the heart of an individual. And so unless I see fruit that shows their heart is wrong, I must be careful. But then I'll tell you something else. Some people judge incorrectly because they have wrong information. Is it not true that oftentimes our information is from a wrong source? I'll tell you, I don't know how many times I've been judged and I've heard others judged and condemned by fellow man upon wrong information. And it's been spread throughout the brotherhood and damage has been done. Reputations have been hurt because somebody, somewhere, got some wrong information and they spread it about. And you know, my friend, that we can give a wrong judgment. But that brings up something else. Sometimes our judgment of fellow man can be wrong because we set up a wrong standard. We go by our thoughts, our traditions, our opinions, and not by God's Word. And so Paul here says he had been misjudged. We cannot but see that Paul had been misjudged by his fellow man. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, he said they accused him, not being a true apostle. They've accused him of preaching for money. And yet I love what he says. He said it's a small thing for him to be judged by man. Now sometimes that's not true of all. If we're honest, a lot of times we care what other people think about. But Paul brings to us our mind a very important thing. It's a small thing. He does not mean to leave the view that it doesn't matter to him in one way or another what people think. But he says it's a small thing to him what man might judge. You know, you can't control what everyone thinks. You can't control what someone thinks about you. You can't go around and try to put out every fire, every rumor, everything that's been said about you. You just can't do it. And so we have to learn it's a small thing. And I'll tell you one thing I've learned. Your enemies are going to believe the worst about you no matter what. Your friends will give you the benefit of the doubt and come talk to you. And there's some people that they're just going to keep on accusing. And sometimes you just think about they can't accuse you of nothing more than you've already been accused of. But that brings up the second thing Paul said. Paul said, notice carefully in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, when he is writing, he is wanting them to understand a very important thing. I said chapter 2, but I meant chapter 4. Look again at what he said in verse 3. He says, it's a small thing that should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. Now, underscore judge myself. That's the second judge. Now, we hear this great man say that he does not even judge himself. And I'll tell you something. He knows himself better than anybody else. That goes back to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13. Nobody knows the mind of God but God. And nobody knows the mind of Charles or Danny or Frank or Albert or Travis or anyone else except them. And I'll tell you what Paul says. When Paul judged himself, he said he found himself not guilty of the things they've accused him of. They said, Paul, the only reason you're preaching is for money. Paul looked it into his heart and Paul said, I don't believe that to be true. That's not why I'm preaching. That's not my motive. Paul, you're not truly an apostle. Paul looked into his heart and he remembered what he had saw when he was in Arabia. He remembered that the Spirit of God revealed the gospel to him and not man. And he said, that's not true. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I've seen him as he wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. So when man came with an accusation, Paul looked at himself and Paul said, I don't see it that way. Yet notice what he said right after that. He says in verse 4, I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. Why? Because again, one might be prejudiced in his judgment. Do you judge yourself as you do others? Now think before you answer the question. Sometimes when we judge others, we can be more harsh in our judgment. We can be more stinging in our indictment. We can come down harder on them. And we can be guilty of the same thing and yet justify ourselves. And Paul said that just because he didn't see it in himself is no reason to say he's justified by it. Now you look today, some miss the assembly. Some fail to give. Some don't live like they should. And what they do is they justify self. They could say, well, we've got enough money in the treasury. Or, I've got too many expenses myself, so I'm not going to give. And you know, I'm not going to go back Sunday night or Wednesday night because I don't feel I need it. And they justify their actions. And I'll tell you, my friend, just because you can smooth your conscience and ease your conscience doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't justify the action. I'll tell you something. It's very easy for one to judge self and say, not guilty. Nevertheless, everyone in the audience faces the judgment of self, and it must be true that oftentimes we are found guilty in the eyes of ourselves. And can I say something to you? And I'm going to say it with all kindness, but I'm going to say it with candor. There are some of you who've allowed your conscience to become hardened and seared. And it should bother you that you're missing the Lord's assembly. If you're missing the Lord's assembly and it doesn't bother you, then my friend, I hope tonight when you go to bed that you just toss and turn and you can't think of anything except the fact that you've missed an opportunity to worship God. And some people have hardened their conscience towards their moral conduct, and I hope that tonight you can't sleep until you repent of that. You may say, well, preacher, that's not very nice of you. Well, I'll tell you, where would you rather toss and turn, in your bed or in hell? Because we can justify ourselves all day long, but we've got to look at the third judge. Look at what he said, the judgment of God. Look at what he said there. And notice, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Those things we think we've hidden, God's going to bring to light. Those things that we think no man knows about, those things we think no one cares about, those things that we've justified to ourselves, God is going to expose. And then look at what he says. And he's going to reveal the counsels of the hearts. That which you've kept hidden from man, that's what you've kept hidden from your spouse, that which you've kept hidden from the preacher and the elders and the members, that's all going to be brought to light. And he said it's all going to be brought out. And that's the judgment that matters. It is God that judges me. How great these words to land upon our hearts. We will be judged. It is not possible for one to see that he will be judged. Look at what is said in Acts 17:31. Paul, when he was talking in that occasion, he said that God has appointed a day. What kind of day, Paul? Appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. You can rest assured there will be a judgment day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, he said we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, 27, he said it is appointed for man to die, then the judgment. But then he said you're going to be judged by Christ. You're going to be judged by the one appointed by the God of heaven. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, stand before which judgment seat? Christ's judgment seat. What are you going to be judged by? Look in John 12. You know where you'll stand when you stand before the judgment seat? You'll stand before Christ, and he's going to judge you according to what? Look at verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. What is that? His word. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We will stand before Christ. We'll face this book as to whether we've kept his law. You won't face creeds. You won't face opinions. You won't face your parents. But the word of the Lord is what will judge us in that day. And may I say, this will be the final judgment. There will be no change then. When the final verdict is handed down. You know, it's different with the courts of man today. Sister Law's father was a judge, and a judge could have things overturned. But you know, when God gives his final judgment, that's it. There won't be an appeal process. There won't be a time that you get out on early release for being good. Once he has condemned a man to eternal damnation, that's it. Or once he has said, enter into the joys of heaven, that's it. That'll be the final judgment. Now is the time to face the fact you will stand in the presence of God to be judged. You know something, my friend? When I think of that, I realize it's a small thing to be judged by man. Oh, it may hurt my feelings if someone don't like me, but I'll tell you what. Man can't condemn me to hell. thing that should concern me is, am I right with God? And I want to live my life to please Him. The small thing, how I see myself. Because I can justify myself. But God sees me as I am. And may I ask you a question as we close? What excuse would you give God? Just tell me, what excuse would you give God for not being His child and not following His word and not being obedient to His cause and not loving Him in return of the great and amazing love He's bestowed upon us? What excuse could you ever give to God that you didn't want to be His child and that you didn't want to keep His commandments to give Him glory? What possible excuse and reason can you give? Back home in Charlotte, Tennessee, I would often go down to the courthouse and listen to them try cases, and I got to know one of the judges. And one day, there were two boys that were on trial for stealing from their own family for money for crack cocaine. And the judge looked out at him and he said, I'm sick and tired of dealing with cases of people stealing for their addiction. And as we walked out, he said, Preacher, it's good that you come down here. Some people see the world the way it should be. He said, but you also need to see how it really is. And you could listen to these men get up and justify their actions and excuse their behavior by saying, I had to have it. And the judge said, no. You wanted to have it. In the day of judgment, just what excuse do you think the judge who knows your heart would accept? For not returning His amazing love. For not wanting to worship Him and spend time giving Him praise. And not thinking about what He offers us, eternal life, compared to what Satan offers us, eternal death. Today, Jesus is your Savior. In that day, He will be your judge. And you'll be judged this book. Are you ready for the judgment day? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come. If together we stand and sing.